G'day and welcome to Ad Nauseam Podcast. Today we're going to talk about DC cardioversion. References for today are Therapeutic Guidelines, Roberts and Hedges Chapter 12, and the Advanced Life Support 2 Book Chapter 11. We'll talk about indications, contraindications, complications, and the procedure and post-procedure care. Indications: rapid atrial fibrillation with failed pharmacological management. Duration less than 48 hours, unanticoagulated. Duration greater than 48 hours and atrial thrombus excluded via toe, or duration greater than 48 hours and anticoagulation has been completed for at least 3 weeks prior. The other indication is hemodynamically unstable tachyarrhythmias with preserved consciousness. Contraindications are contrary to goals of care, sinus tachycardia, and Roberts and Hedges also mention arrhythmias due to digitalis toxicity. Alternatives are pharmacological management. Pros are highly effective. Cons: need procedural sedation and thromboembolic risk. Consent is verbal. Potential complications are thromboembolism of the intracardiac thrombus, if there is one, chest wall burns, inadvertent staph shock, myocardial injury, PTSD if aware, and respiratory compromise from the sedation. In terms of staff and space, resus cubicle, at least two doctors, an airway and a circ doctor who could team lead, and at least one nurse, but preferably two. For our stuff, we need a defibrillator and appropriate pads, a resus trolley or crash cart with adrenaline available, airway trolley with adjuncts out and a plan for endotracheal intubation, large bore cannula, or at least one, preferably two, and sedation and flushes. Consider midazolam, 2 to 5 milligrams for adults, fentanyl, 50 to 100 mics with repeat dosing intravenously for adults, ketamine, 0.5 to 1 milligram per kilo, propofol, 1 to 1.5 milligrams per kilo, and more aliquots to give to maintain sedation as required. In terms of positioning, supine or semi-recumbent. For the procedure now, we're going to attach the pads antero-posteriorly and connect them to the machine, making sure the chest is clean or shaven if required, at least 10 centimetres from an existing pacemaker with the three-lead ECG connected, depending on the defibrillator machine. We're going to administer procedural sedation now with end-tidal CO2 monitoring and SATS monitoring, being aware of supplemental oxygen and cardioversion potential fire risk. We're also going to prepare for managing the airway if there's evidence of obstruction. We're going to activate the sync mode to prevent R-on-T phenomenon, then select energy. There's a bit of a difference of opinion about the appropriate joules to select, a difference between lower, starting at 50 joules for flutter SVT, according to Roberts and Hedges, then 100 for AF and 100 for conscious VT, and some references say to use 150 for adults, a biphasic to start, and then increase the dose if required. For peds, it's 1 joule per kilo and then escalating to 2 joules per kilo. We're then going to use the modified coach algorithm: oxygen away, all clear, charge, hands off, DC cardiovert, and then assess for reversion to sinus rhythm and trial increasing energy if unsuccessful. So from 100 to 150, for example, or 150 to 200 joules. For our post-procedure care, we're going to have continuous cardiac monitoring for recurrence, monitor for recovery from sedation, and decide on a disposition. Does the patient need admission or can they be discharged, depending on indication once they've woken up from their sedation? Also consider anticoagulation for at least 4 weeks after AFDCR and consider the CHADS VA score as to whether they need lifelong anticoagulation, but a discussion with the patient about that. Okay, we've talked about DC cardioversion. Thanks for listening.